compliance with the open meeting law.
I don't have a pen.
But see that?
I have that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Open meeting law, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Approval of the agenda. Any additions?
I'm going to approve that without correction.
I'll say that.
All right. Approval of the minutes. Comments?
I'll move, they're okay.
I'll second it.
Yeah, we'll move this right along. Public comment. Oh, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So vote the agenda in the minutes.
Yeah.
Since we had no corrections. All right, public comment?
Building update, we did meet again with Potter Lawson to go over some schematic design that phase has started. So they met with us as a group, and then they met individually with the Sheriff's Department, ADRC, and Social Services to kind of go over what they had laid out in terms of what a building might look like. We did make some rearrangements, I guess, whatever you might call them. There is a group going to Green Lake on the 26th to look at that. Their building there has, but it has law enforcement, health and human services, and something
else.
It's
the whole county.
Okay. It's the whole county building. Okay. Mary Mesmer and I are going to go there tomorrow because next Tuesday did not work for either of us, so we are going to tour it tomorrow. And then we are meeting back on, what, the 27th?
Yeah, that's been downgraded just to the group again.
Okay, so it's not the administrative meeting. Okay. So the
Sheriff's Department wanted to make a bunch of changes yesterday, so.
Oh, okay.
We're backed up a little bit.
Okay, so we'll be meeting just.
Is still meeting.
We'll be meeting as a group just to go back through the. So if we see anything at Green Lake that we think maybe needs to change with ours, then do you want to explain where it goes from there? Do you want to explain where it eventually has to go? I mean, eventually it has to land back at the board.
Once the schematic design, and I'll pass this around, don't pay a lot of attention to my notes. This is somewhat the layout. The red area down here in the right corner is ADRC. So as you enter the yellow area, they would have a glass lobby, so it would draw your attention, hopefully, to there. The green area is social services. The purple areas are the sheriff's department. Dispatch is right here by the front door, but kind of hid. And the green area is emergency government. And the orange, yellow, dark yellow area is the jail dock.
And Mary Mesra did speak initially with the quality specialist for the state to determine that that entrance would work for us. So we have to have a separate and distinct entrance, but they did tentatively approve that. They'd still have to approve the blueprints when they were done, but they tentatively did approve that. The other thing on there is we would be like sharing a boardroom with the Sheriff's Department and Social Services. We don't all need a big, large size.
That conference room was the dark yellow area right there where you come straight in.
Right.
So that would be like where this meeting would be held and all the other committee meetings.
And then there's a training room area in emergency management that we could also access, that Sheriff's Department, Social Services, and ADFC.
That would be as big as the county board holds.
So
70 people.
It would be more like a community training, which would
Are
be really
there any
nice.
Plans on Dave's Is what?
I'll get to that in a second.
Oh!
When Lori asked the next steps, the next step is to get this schematic design done. And then we need to estimate the cost of the project based on the floor plan and all the technology and everything that's in there. And then we would go back and look at comparison of this total one building versus what Dave threw out there for social services and ADRC and another location. one of the comments that I made early on, a couple, 3 weeks ago, they had that green area kind of pointed out in one direction because social services wanted windows in all offices. And I said, if you're going to put that, if you're going to make all that wall space, it's not going to be financially feasible. So they've changed some things. We'll have to see what the cost is. The development proposal that Dave's group put forth, part of that was that they had to hold that for 120 days. That 120 days was up. So he could change his price. It's as aggressive as he is, I don't think he's going to. But I know the architects that were working with him, they want to bail.
They want to what?
They want to bail out.
Right.
But
right.
David's got other people. If that's an option. There's a few other things that location of this building, probably the one that makes the most sense that they plotted would be around where we're sitting now, and then this would be torn out for parking eventually. They had three different areas, and the only one that worked to me was there. I did have a conversation with two other county board members yesterday, and we have a better idea. Move it north a little. Put it on the other side of the farm, because then it's all access to 129. We don't have the access problem that we have right now.
Yeah, that is.
If the sheriff's department wants to leave here in a hurry and go south, unless we can change the driveway, they would have to go. They would try to go through Orchard Manor, and that's not
90 miles an hour.
Yeah. So there's
take out three people.
There's other things, but the administrative committee needs to come together at some point and confirm that they're all right with that schematic design and then it will go to county court before it goes to the next level. And then spend another $500,000 on planning before we start doing it.
I like the accessibility of that, though, for ADRC, for wheelchairs and people
yes.
with handicaps
yes.
coming in. It's right there.
And
the
buildings... Front. Some of us went to Vernon County and toured theirs. There was a group that went to Juneau County, and now they're going to go to Lake County. These facilities, when you drive up, if there wasn't a sign on the front that said Sheriff's Department and Correction Facility, you wouldn't know it wasn't a nursing home. So we're trying to work through it.
Yes.
Does the committee have any recommendation about location, whether it be out here or in Lancaster? What's the committee's thoughts on where the location is?
You know, we've talked before, there's kind of pros and cons to both. I mean, there are some pros of being over in the Bainbridge because of the access to Social Security. There's a nice connection there. However, getting around to there with the square and people that don't know Lancaster, that could prove to be a little bit of a issue too. People know where ADRC is kind of now out here.
That's just a learning curve.
What's that?
That's just a learning curve.
Yeah. But
I know.
You know, our older population, it's a bigger learning curve. I still don't like to drive the square very well. So, and then I think, you know, out here, it's well known, we've been out here, but again, with the concern with access, depending on where that would be with the sheriff's department too, that could potentially be an issue too. So I don't know what your feelings are what are your feelings of knowing people from your different areas on accessing it?
I don't know. I think up there by McDonald's and A&W, there's so many cars pulling in and out all the time from there, and then, you know, Happy Joe's and stuff.
We could get a street light.
Yeah.
Could be a
lot.
Street light there.
Stop and go lights.
Oh, stop and go light. Yeah.
We could get a stop and go light. What are there, three in Grant County, and they're all in Plateau?
Yeah. I honestly can see pros and cons with both. I probably don't favor one over the other. My only thing is that as long as Dave is kind of willing to work with us to get what we want as far as kind of a setup and doesn't kind of force. The nice thing about designing a building is you get to design it with what you think might be practical and most efficient in mind versus fitting into a building again. We have fit into this one and we fit into it pretty well, but I would like to have more input in that, and I don't know how much we would have with Dave, although I think he's willing to work with
us. I think that's the good part of that time frame lapsing now, that we're not so hooked into what that architect wanted.
Okay.
And David would use more of this plan.
We could use more of a...
How much bigger does that make the jail?
This that design like there.
Whole lot.
Well, this is all jail. This the right. actual jail is the this is the
right.
jail.
But
pod.
This is all.
Then this is
sheriff's?
There's a sheriff's yeah. department, and then there's the jail. What do they
it's
call
really
it?
It's really not.
Jail
it, I mean, it looks bigger, but as far as square footage wise, right now it's about 40,000 square feet because there's two floors. This is basically one floor,
all
and so
out.
Yeah, it's. Just over 40, it's about 42,000 square feet, but it's 85 beds, expandable to 110 by double booking. The Huber and the minimum security is just dorm space, so it's just beds.
They were talking about how much different jails look nowadays compared to what they did and how much more...
Because now
these
ours is
now
basically
so much
linear.
Safer
it's like having to walk down this hallway to look in each cell. Where there, you set up that master control and
you
see everybody.
Everybody.
Plus the technology with cameras and everything.
Obviously, there's been a lot more design, and you know, the jail is really the main focus of the meetings at Longer. Jail.
Well, the jail.
We don't have to have, you know.
Well, the jail's open 24 hours a day.
Right.
Where the other places are not.
Right.
They're kind of staffed, but not.
Vernon County's jail is almost exactly the same size as what we're looking at. They built that in 2005 for $9 million. We're looking at twice that just on the jail and the sheriff's department.
How much?
It was $9 million then. We're looking at close to 20 now.
11 years ago? No, what'd you say? 2009?
2005.
2005. So 10 years ago.
Doubled in price. So the longer we kick the can down the road, the more it costs us.
I have a question on efficiency. I think that'll make things more efficient.
Yeah, because one person could see all of the.
Well, I mean, with everything, having social services, ADRC, all those entities in one place.
Here, we're already here, so we, the one time, the cool thing, I think, is that in times of, you know, God forbid we have any more disasters in Grant County, but, you know, we get a lot of flooding here, so it's potential, and that's a time when emergency management, us, and social services really come together. So I do see some, like, you know, having all of that in one building along with the sheriff's department, I do see some nice collaborations there. Because we could, you know, like right now, Steve's calling, we're getting information out on the heat about cooling centers and things like that. So I do think it could spur even more of that collaborative relationship. We're almost the first people in the flooding, like in Bosqueville. You know, ADRC came in and spent many days in Bosqueville working with elderly people down there too, because it hit our elderly housing. Same with when the tornado hit Platteville. We spent time on site with our information and assistance specialist at that. They had set up like a resource center there to work with, again, with the elderly and disabled. So we are a large part of that emergency management planning. So I do think there is some nice things that could happen from being all in one building.
Plus, it might be reassuring for social services to have the sheriff's department right there too, in case
I do think that is their selling point. Yes.
Somebody may think twice where they want to
right,
build.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know in today's.
I don't. Some of these people don't think.
There was just a shooting in what a court yesterday, and. Michigan or something, somewhere right in the courts. So
St. Joseph's.
We had officer abuse in the film.
Yeah. So it's, you just never know. It's, but yes, but I do think that, you know, and I like the idea of having the training room. We do a lot of, like, you know, Marcia does the Medicare presentations and things like that, so we would have access to that.
And technology, technology.
But one or the other, I mean, I'll just be happy if we have new space.
You don't want to flood out?
Ultimately. I have not had to deal with that, so I've been very lucky, knock on wood, that we have not had those issues since we've all been here. So.
Okay, does that take care of the public hearing scheduled?
The public hearing is scheduled for July 27th, 5 to 6 p.m. Every year we have to review our aging plan with the public if they attend. Notices have been going out to the meal sites. I see I did get a few back. We send a little survey thing out to the meal sites. As well. That public hearing also is Unified and Social Services. We do them jointly because, quite frankly, we don't have waves of people walking in the door for that. So, especially on an off year, it's not like we're introducing. The aging plan was done from 2016 through. Is that right? Yeah, 2016 through 19. So it's not like it's a new aging plan with new services. So. But just so you're aware of it, and if you would like to attend it, you're more than welcome to do so.
Okay. Anything else there? Anybody have a comment? Hearing none, we'll go on to number 6, advocacy report.
You and Shirley and Pat for the regional board.
Do you have anything to say on the regional meeting?
Well, we spent quite a bit of time listening to the three girls that are going to enroll in family care with the to provide services, the MCO, and now we have Continue Us. No, wait, we have Continue Us now, and now we're going to go to Care Wisconsin, and there's three girls that are going to be handling that for the long-term care program. There's just a lot going on there. You know, which program do you want? You have a choice, Continue Us or Long-Term Care under Care Wisconsin. And you can change. If you decide one and you don't like something they're doing, then you can go to the other program. And it's new. It's new. I have a lot of questions about it. And I'm sure they're going to meet with a lot of concerns.
Wait till I tell you some more information, then you're really going to have some more questions about it.
Did you have some meetings on that with those
girls? I'll let you finish up your board report, and then I'll tell you the rest.
They covered so much that day, and I just went ahead.
And again, it's just giving people that option for family care. Now they only used to have one option, now they have the two.
I think they did an excellent job of explaining.
Well, they did. And there's going to be a lot of concerns about it. A lot.
I think as all this health care is changing.
Well, and then I read in the ARP magazine for how many more million people are coming into the health care program and how it's going to get covered. And they claim there's going to be more help in those programs. Are you hearing that?
That there's going to be more help needed, or?
No, there's going to be more monies coming through for those.
Well,
where is it coming from? I don't know.
Yeah. Taking it from Social Security.
I think we'll know more when we see who ends up
in November.
Power. But, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things being debated about now, from Social Security to all sorts of things. So, but yes, the baby boomers are aging out, and
how many more million?
And from everything I read, the baby boomers are not as prepared for retirement as past generations. But so I'm spending all that. I'm just kidding. I can.
Yeah. It's when they die and they hand us the shovel to dig our own grave that we're going to be in trouble. Just right. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think there's a lot of changes coming, and
yes.
For those who have not had the educational background, and the first, we all know in the state of Wisconsin, the environment to education is not good. I have a relative in Minnesota who wants to move back here very definitely. She's a physical therapist, and her fiance is a school teacher, and there's no way we're coming back to Wisconsin. So I, you know, as all those people are either trying to conserve money or not conserve money.
Yeah, the long-term care has proven to save money, though. I mean, in the long run, it has proven, you know, people are not going into nursing homes as soon as, you know, as maybe they would have. You know, there's much more services available to keep them in their homes, which ultimately makes them happier and more independent and also saves taxpayers money. So that's all a good thing. And with that comes more employment for people. Unfortunately, that employment, for the most part, is low paying. It's really not a living wage for a lot of those people. Yeah. So, you know, CNAs don't really make a great deal of money, and often that CNA is a stepping stone, which is good, but, you know, Orchard Manor right now is really struggling to attract CNAs. We've got a nursing home in Boscobel that is limiting taking on more patients because they're short-staffed and don't have CNAs.
Well, just in the shopping news, just this week, we were looking at it, and, you know, they gave, like, from Bloomfield Manor, starting wage for CNAs was $12.49 to $13-something, and then Montchevrey Cheese had their starting wage, and it was higher than CNA. Yeah. So which are you going to do, you know?
And actually, that's probably a fairly good wage for a CNA. A lot of them don't pay that much. Like the home service workers that are through the, you know, they're maybe making $10 if they're looking.
Particularly exploding. So I sit there going, well, all these people wanting jobs. There's not people there for the jobs.
Exactly. Yeah.
College isn't the guarantee that it used to
be. Well, I've talked with people over at Plateau because that's a teacher college. That's what it was.
Yes.
And the people over there tell you kids are not going into teaching. The environment in Wisconsin is horrible. If they do go in, they're leaving the state about as soon as they're done. So where are the jobs? Where are they going? And we can't keep hollering jobs if we don't match some of those things together somehow. So anyway, so what changes do you see?
If we go down funding-wise, I was hoping to give you a little bit more information. I told you we get some SHIP funding, and we're only getting about $57.79, I think, for SHIP this year. It isn't a lot, but this SHIP funding has been used to support the Elder Benefits Specialist Program. It also supports the Medigap hotline in Wisconsin and some other issues. So it's funding that is, I think, crucial to the elderly. And it was on kind of the chopping block. I have heard now that it did not pass the assembly. I think that's what I heard last, but I haven't heard any more about it. So I'll kind of keep you on that. But if you talk to your legislators again, you know, please let them know that, you know, the federal legislators like Ron Kind or whoever's in your area, to let them know that, you know, all those little pots of money do help, and they do provide that. The Medigap hotline is, you know, a number somebody can call when they have questions and aren't sure of what they've got if they can't reach us on their insurance. So it's definitely warranted. Family care. So now we have, as we talked about, Care Wisconsin and we have Continuous, Shirley, which is the two MCOs that people can choose for long-term care. And then there is the IRIS program. But we got word just this past month, probably a week or two ago, that Continuous will be merging or integrating, however in their letter they say joining forces, with Community Care Connections of Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin Cares. So Community Care Connections of Wisconsin, Continuous, and Western Wisconsin Cares are all coming together as one organization. Tentatively starting January 1st, 2017. And I will. I can send the letter around. It says the planned merger of the three organizations will result in one organization that is strategically positioned to compete within the long-term care system, as well as within any reformed system, hence Family Care 2.0, considered by the state of Wisconsin in the future. More importantly, this move allows the reach of one unified organization to support person-centered and community-focused efforts across the state. So they're looking at it as a good move for them, but they're also looking at to position themselves as being an integrated health provider within the Family Care 2.0 system if that moves forward. So I can pass that around. So I don't know what their name is going to be, but it probably won't be continuous anymore. So we have batted around several, you know, Continuous Care Wisconsin, because they all have kind of the same names.
Yeah, let's hope they really choose something way out.
Well, different than Care Wisconsin and Continuous, they're so closely related, you get your tongue twisted up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's why we kind of laugh with this, because it'll just be another one to... Did you want to make a comment on that?
Gary's comment yesterday, Gary Ranum sits on the Continuous Board. He's part of the merger board, too.
Yes.
They will control 42 counties.
Yes.
How much is it of getting close to a monopoly?
Well,
it's not a monopoly, but what it's going to happen eventually, at least some people say, these organizations are going to be mini insurance companies.
They're going to be what?
Insurance companies.
Mini insurance companies.
So that's what they're setting themselves up for. Is
he also made a comment they would not be public, they would be
private
nonprofits.
Yeah. I was in La Crosse yesterday and ran into a former worker that worked with them, just retired in April, said that they were joining forces, that it was going to be a private agency. Yeah. So it's going to really change things for the staff that work there.
For the better?
No. They aren't going to be a part of Wisconsin system anymore, therefore they won't have the Wisconsin retirement system. They won't be a part of the Wisconsin retirement system. It'll just be like any private company or organization that...
So if we don't
have people connected to it, pardon?
So if we don't have people paying into the Wisconsin Retirement Committee, for those of us who get from the
right,
retirement,
yes.
It's going to be less money coming in,
yes,
which means could
you
get axed.
A large number of people.
Could get axed.
Mm-hmm. Which has been the goal all along. So.
Yep, privatized.
But that was it. I remember starting to work as a 16-year-old. That was the only thing you could put your money in at that time. Because all the places I worked, you know, your money went to the Wisconsin program. They don't have a choice. So if you lose that, you lose that little bit you got coming back. So they're not, what do they seem to say about it, Dave? Yes, no, they're just making changes.
They're just making changes. Like I said, it's supposed to be January 1st, and a lot of people that are close to retirement are getting out.
Getting out. Mm-hmm.
So they can, yeah.
It appears that, I mean, it appears that the state hasn't formally approved it yet, but it appears that they are on board to approve it.
And that's where the state's been going, it's privatizing, and that's where they're going.
As far as participants in family care right now that are involved in continuous or care, well, in continuous, it won't be, we were concerned whether they would have, you know, doing re-enrolling in services or anything like that, and it doesn't appear at this point that they would, their care management teams would say the same services for participants right now would at least, for the short term anyway, look the same. So who knows when it's all. What's that?
Do you have a copy, please?
Yes, absolutely.
So is IRIS still going to stay the same?
IRIS right now is staying the same because Family Care 2.0 has been put on hold. If Family Care 2.0 gets revisited, and you know with the passing of Kitty Rhodes, the secretary, that's in flux, right? So we don't know, it's hard to say what the new, I mean, there's still, everything I've heard says they'll still be moving forward with some type of family care revision, but how that's going to look, I don't know, and somebody new overseeing that may have different thoughts on that as well. So,
you know, I just get concerned as they privatize all this stuff, we know the cost is not going to go down. The cost is going to go up, and who's going to be able to afford it?
And so somebody's making money off of every
you bet.
Well, and with the Family Care 2.0, that's kind of why it got put on hold a little bit, because when the Legislative Bureau looked at it, their report basically said it wasn't there wasn't a cost savings to Family Care 2.0, which is why they kind of rescinded the proposed back. Because that was, again, another factor in why they were doing that. Yeah, they did get a lot of pushback from participants. So.
All right, any more comment there?
No, I think, you know, we actually have somebody from Continuous, Kelly Hermanson is coming out next, on the 29th, next Friday, to talk with us a little bit about, to see if we've had any participant concerns or anything like that, which we haven't had a lot, but participants did, I think, just get the letter this week about the merger, so. So, it, you know, there will be questions. So, surely just when you think you get it figured out, they change it up again, you know?
Don't tell me. Well, and the personnel. Oh, my.
It's going to be a huge outfit. It will be, and what did Gary say, like a billion-dollar budget or half-billion-dollar budget
a billion.
Or something?
That was huge.
A lot of money.
From an administrative standpoint.
A lot of money.
Not a care standpoint,
yeah.
But an administrative
standpoint. Yeah.
Okay, down to number 7, bylaw review.
After you approve the bylaws, that gets sent into GWAR, and our GWAR consultant emailed me back and wanted something about Wisconsin Elders Act in regarding the terms. She had a whole sentence in there, but so I just, under Section C, I think that's the only one that we had it, so if you look under Section C, I think I revised that to read terms as required by the Wisconsin Elders Act. She just wanted a reference to the Wisconsin Elders Act, where those term limits come from. So
any,
it's very minor,
okay.
But
any
I wanted you
from anybody on that?
Know that.
If not, we need a
approval.
Need a motion?
I make a motion to.
A second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
I did.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nope. Motion passed. Here, Wisconsin,
Contract. I don't know that this board has ever reviewed a continuous contract in the past, because I couldn't see where it happened, but we do have a contract with Continuous to provide meals and to provide transportation. Is that the contract in here? Oh, I'm sorry. It's right here. So I included the appendix of the contract because the contract's about 20 pages long. Felt like it anyway. So it's just Appendix A here. So what this one is Care Wisconsin is obviously coming in and they're looking to purchase meals and transportation from us. So in talking with Bob, he thought I should just run it past the board. This is the same reimbursement rates as Continuous right now that we have in place. The whole contract itself was reviewed by Ben Wood, our court counsel. And he did sign off on that. So I just basically wanted to sign off. There is a change already on home-delivered meals. That cost has actually gone down to like $9.86, I believe. I did check through the emergency or through the transportation cost to see if we are not losing money on transportation. Obviously, we don't want to lose money on it. And it didn't appear to me right now. But we do have the ability to negotiate these rates from time to time. So if we think that we are not, you know, consistent, we do have the ability to come back and say we'd like an increase.
Before the contract would be up again?
So basically, we are the home delivered meals are based on our meal cost rate per year. So we have to do that every year. So that actually going down is a little bit of a benefit to us, because when it's high, they tend to not put people on home delivered meals as much as when it's a little bit lower, then they tend to, you know, because those care managers have a budget too that they have to work with. With the transportation, we get a setup fee along with whatever it is, the per charge rate. So when we set up like a volunteer driver, we get a setup fee of $12. It looks like six here, but that's per trip. So it would be $12 per round trip. So that covers like Mariah's costs in administering that program and setting up and finding the driver and getting them the specifics of it and then getting back to the consumer and all of that. So we get that, plus we get the mileage rate that we are then charging or reimbursing the driver for. Same with some of our specialized transportation as well. We get that $12 setup fee. And then with the taxi, which they also use, that's a straight $2, but it's a $2 per trip. When we offer that taxi to elderly, we do some extra trips at like 50 cents at a lower rate, but for continuous and for Care Wisconsin, it would be a straight $2. So the buses, if you look, in the non-emergency, at the very last one where you're going to see a $3.75, they're billing that per 15 minutes, but we really charge that by the hour. So it's like a $15 rate for our driver for specialized. Again, that covers our kind of driver fringe costs. And then it's also the per county, the per mile rate at the federal IRS rate. So, and again, this just pretty much mimics the continuous contract at this time for rates.
Any comments? Questions?
I think I would like a motion just to approve the contract. So, and I probably, the next time that the continuous contract is up, we'll probably bring that one back as well, just so that you're aware of the rates. But there will be a learning curve here, I should say. Mariah is going to have another billing system to deal with. She already has one through continuous. This billing system will be a little different. So, but hopefully, you know, she's got a very good setup tracking all of those rides and down now. So I'm hoping the billing will go fairly smooth for us.
You don't have any question, do you, on people having to pay that?
This is all being paid
by okay.
This would all be paid per Care Wisconsin. So when that happens, when they have a participant that needs a medical appointment in Madison or whatever, they will call Mariah, talk with her, she'll set up the ride. The participant will never see the cost.
Okay.
That's just Care Wisconsin. So, and they do pay a higher cost than what we would charge. Just somebody who's not on. You know, if we had just an elderly person calling on our volunteer driver program, they are only charged a rate of like 36 cents a mile, where we're charging continuous the full federal IRS rate plus the setup fees. So, yeah, they're paying a higher rate.
Any questions? Hearing none, someone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any further discussion on this? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Motion carried.
And then on the Southwest Opportunity contract, Dee Stojan, you'll see in my report, Dee has been our cleaning person for quite some time. I'm not even sure actually how many years she's been doing it, but Dee had some health issues this year and had to step. She just wasn't up to the task anymore. And so in looking at that, Social Services has employed Southwest Opportunity Center to provide cleaning services to the building for their space for quite some time. And I believe the county, you also just went with Social.
We use SOC for the bathroom and the administration.
The Methodist Church also uses them.
So I did contact them to see what they could offer us, and they did offer us, and I believe it's in here, contracted service agreement, I think is what it says.
Yeah. Yep.
And they will charge us $35 per hour, but they can get quite a bit done in that time period because they use a couple people.
That's a leader and at least two people probably. Administration building, they bring three or four.
Yeah. And they brought two for us. And they accomplished a lot in an hour. We're just employing them once a week. And so it's really not, we've already got it budgeted to D, so it's really not costing us more. At this point at all, and they're doing a good job. But again, in speaking with Bob, I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of the contract and knew that we were doing that at this time. But we did start them because we do have the money budgeted, and I was tired of cleaning the bathrooms. So.
we don't need a motion on this.
I would just prefer that you
do
make a motion just
okay,
so you're aware of it.
I don't have an issue with it, but do you have to go out for bids with that? Or can you just go ahead and do that? Can you just go ahead and do it? Okay. I just didn't know if you had to or not.
It's under $5,000 a year, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what the rules were on that part of it.
Between, to approve this.
You have to bid anything over $25,000. It's suggested that you bid anything from $5,000 to
$20,000. Okay. Like I said, I don't have an issue with it.
And they've come twice now, and they've done a nice job for us, and they're very excited to be here, which is nice too. Deb had seen me because she does some for social services on a different day, and she said, "I'm excited to come back on Monday," and I'm like, "Well, I'm excited to have you."
They are extremely proud.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Extremely, very.
Being a good question.
No, I want to make a motion.
Oh, okay. Dan's going to make a motion. Accept the contract?
Yes.
Well, you're second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Approval of vouchers. Any questions on the vouchers? Anything out of ordinary?
This month, probably next month, we'll see that car issues again. But actually, no, there are most of those were warranted, not the one yesterday. But when don't we have car issues here? Yeah, I don't think there is anything.
Anybody have anything that jumps out at them?
Okay, pretty good. Again, mostly if you know our food costs, which are always high. I'm guessing that UW-Platteville's is in here for twice. So
yeah, 2 months.
So if that one looks really outrageous, that's because it's 2 months worth.
There any more questions? Someone like a approval of the vouchers?
I'll move.
Shirley moves.
I'll second.
Jan seconds.
Aye.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the vouchers, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Passed. Financial report.
Again, I don't think we've had anything out of the ordinary. I have had my eyes on the budget quite a bit because we are working on budgets. So we are making some changes in how we're splitting out some of the costs. Some of it's still in service management, and that's going to come out to other programs. And talking with Nancy, I got a few people that are, we think we can put it more in nutrition and transportation. So you might see some changes there before the end of the year, because we might split that out a little bit more, which will alleviate service management looking high. But otherwise, I don't see any issues with it right now.
Anybody have any questions? Hearing none, I have a motion to accept financial report.
Doesn't matter.
Pat makes a motion. Somebody want a second?
I'll second.
We're going to keep my question.
Shirley seconds it. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed. Report.
I'm passing two around, my report, and then I do have a report from Whitney Thompson.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Our dementia care specialist, too. So she's been giving us a report, so I wanted to pass that around for you. Just a couple of things. We had the opportunity to meet with Representative Rorcast, and I hope I spelled his name there right. I'm not sure I did. And Representative Novak, they were part of the Legislative Dementia Care Task Force that took place this past year, and they issued a report on that. So they came and met with us and went over the report. And as you know, three bills came out of that. There was 10 bills that were proposed, and three came out of that. They are hoping to get the dementia care specialist come back into the budget. They're hoping that they can get it as part of the budget because they think it has a better chance if it gets into the budget. But again, with things in kind of an upheaval at you know, the division, I don't know what will happen there. But they are certainly are supportive of it, and we're hoping, too, that we can see. Because if you look at Whitney's, she's really making some really great strides in dementia-friendly communities and some other training. So we're real happy about that. Just a couple other things, and then I won't read through this entirely. Our Dodgeville taxi, speaking of car problems, was out of commission for about 3 weeks. Because of the lift vehicle, it's customized, and the air conditioning went out. It's got 23,000 miles on it, the air conditioning went out. So, and it needed something rusted out or something, I don't know. I can't even remember. They've had so many conversations. But anyway, because it's customized, things get rerouted in it. So it's not like the dealership can just take care of it. The dealership has to call Atlas, who it was ordered from, but technically then they have to call Braun because they're the ones with the lift. And so you know how that goes when you're out, you know, two places removed. So it took about 3 weeks because they actually had to make these pipes, cut them, ship them, and of course they have to ship them freight because they're 12 feet long, and so they can't just get them here fast. So it was ridiculously long. However, Southwest Cab Lift Program was very nice to lend us one of their lift vehicles. They do have some through federal funding as well, and they had one available for us to use. So we did not cancel any services during that time period, but we were very thankful to be able to use that. So it is, Ken got it back last week, used it Wednesday. On Friday, the service engine light came on. And he took it to a local garage, and it was an oil pressure sensor, so I just had it back at UberSox yesterday, or Tuesday and yesterday. Just got it back yesterday, so keep your fingers crossed because I'm a little tired of that.
What kind of revenue do we receive from Iowa County
for the Dodgeville taxi? The county and the ADRC do put in revenue for that, and I think it's on your revenue report if you look. I think
they pay us.
They do give us that. Yeah, we get some 5311 funding through the shared ride taxi program, and then we get, let me see, I got the expense run up here, and then we get, God, I can't think of it.
Is it revenue neutral, or are we losing money?
No, we're not losing money on it at this point. If you, we actually were under budget on it last year. However, thank you. I can't find it. If it tells you in this one, we get $5,000 in revenue, I think from Iowa County, and then another $2,684 from Dodgeville, the city of Dodgeville, and then we get $11,000. Yes, and then we get $11,489 from the DOT. Now, my question to that would be, I don't know. $11,489 from the DOT. If that would normally come to us, because I didn't set up this grant, so it would not normally come to us. So it's additional. Okay. So Bob knows that better than I do. So
that's why she applied.
Okay. Because we do get some shared ride taxi money for our own taxi, and then plus this. So, so no, we haven't at this point. No county levy money has gone into that. But whether, that's a discussion, I think, for some strategic planning committee in transportation, whether we want to continue that or whether that's something that maybe the ADRC up there wants to investigate, whether they want to take over that.
I think that helped with the grant when we collaborated with Dodgeville, right? That helped.
Honestly, way before my time,
I remember
that being
discussed, right? They wanted us to collaborate with other areas that needed
that. Well,
and that
collaboration is always part of the DOT grants,
part
that
of
regional.
DOT grants.
But how long has that taxi been there? Do you know? I'm not.
7 years.
Yeah, not real long.
Six, 7 years.
Yeah, somewhere.
It's quite a bit before my time. So, I mean, I guess that's a discussion if you want to have at some point whether you want to.
I was just wondering
if
it was costing us money.
To my. for everything since I've come on board, the intent is to keep county levying money out of it. Obviously, Grant County doesn't have a lot to do that. So,
according to budget numbers, Dan, there's 19,173 revenue and 18,138
cost. Yeah.
So it's $1,000 profit.
Yeah, when I checked last year, we did not have any.
That was the headache you had.
Well, thank goodness, at least those the two issues there, at least we both covered under warranty, so we didn't have any extra cost there. But we did just have a van go down yesterday that needed a wheel bearing. So. Yeah, I just get one step ahead, and then it's two steps back on that. So he's like, great. But you can't really send a driver down the road with a bad wheel. So.
There goes the wheel.
I worry about that. So CAP did just ask for a letter of support for their mobility program. They get money through 5310 to run an actual mobility program, something that we don't do. And it's geared at collaboration and regional coordination, which the DOT is all about. All of the counties right now collaborate, and there's a grant through Southwest Planning Commission has a grant also helping us coordinate. But this one that the LIFT program was actually looking at was coordinating a volunteer driver base for all the counties to use, although if drivers did not want to be a part of that more regional one, they could be specific to one county. We do have several drivers right now that work for the LIFT program as well as our program. They do. So I know that there are going to be some county directors that are going to be hesitant to sign on to that because there's kind of some territorial issues, I think, there. However, LIFT has been very good when we've needed them and needed to refer to them. So I did send a letter of support to that because, quite frankly, we don't have the time to be out there, you know, scouring the bushes for volunteer drivers. And they have they are dedicated to transportation. That's all they do in their program, where, you know, we have a lot of other things. So to me, I think it's a win-win. I don't think we're going to lose drivers so much, and hopefully we'll gain a few more. Because all the counties are in need of volunteer drivers. You know, we just don't have people retiring at 65 and then saying, hey, I could go drive. Now they're staying until 67, 70, you know, so we're kind of losing our pool there. So I did go ahead and send that out. Potter Lawson, we talked about. The board did approve the 5310 grant. Again, that's the grant to possibly get a taxi if the other grant doesn't work out. I'm supposed to know about that late September, and this one is due mid-August. Or late summer is what they said. So I figure I'll write this one, and then we'll get notified on the other one. The other one is such a long shot that I'm a little worried on that. The other big thing that's probably happening is the budget. We are working on budgets. We did meet as department heads last week to discover the budget wasn't really looking all that fantastic. Health insurance costs are really rising a lot and are forecasted to rise even more. And just preliminary, when budgets came in last week, we were looking at like a $500,000 shortfall. Well, I know it's up more than that, but Nancy thought maybe it would be around, it was actually, what, 600 and some thousand?
Yeah,
she thought maybe it was realistically around 500.
What's the insurance rate going to go up? A percentage?
13%.
13%?
So TriCor did meet with the admin committee, is that correct? Was it exec committee? Just a small group, okay. And made some suggestions as far as ways to kind of curb some of those costs in the future for health insurance. Those suggestions did go to the department heads. We took a look at them, discussed them. Nobody liked them. But, you know, that's the reality of it is.
People to pay
higher deductibles. Yeah, different premiums, different things. There was a list of about 10 suggestions that we found that we would pass on. So we've been asked to survey staff on that. So all department heads were to go back and talk to their staff, kind of survey staff on I guess which options were the least objectionable, knowing that none of them were, you know, kind of really favorable to staff, because obviously they all increased the cost for staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the process of doing that right now. Staff have gotten those options and are taking a look at them, and then we're coming back August 4th to discuss those as well. It's never pretty in self-insurance, and it never goes away. And I think the county has sort of lagged behind, in my opinion. They've been pretty lucky because county employees have enjoyed pretty good benefits for a number of years.
They've kind of taken on some of the costs for this and not defrayed it.
Quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Nancy work up some numbers for me.
And so now...
We maxed out the total cost for insurance about 5 years ago. It was almost $5 million. And by rearranging our plan and actually picking up a big share of the deductible, it saved us money over the last 5 years. But it's gotten back almost to that now. It's $4.7 million. Next year's projected cost, just because that rate is increasing. And we could divert some of it. We need to make some plan changes. We can save a fair amount just by prescriptions change. We could save a fair amount just by charging tobacco users more. We could charge up to a 50% upcharge on tobacco users if we just charge 25%. Do you think it could save us $100,000?
Well,
so there's all kinds of things that you need to charge the people that are affecting your rates,
causing the cost.
Yeah.
But that gets tricky too.
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got obesity. You've got different. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of things that could factor into that. So I think. For me, I came from that world where insurance was tight, and every year, like I was telling staff before I left CAB, my wages, my taxable income had actually gone down probably the last 4 or 5 years because of my health insurance costs taking on more and more of those costs. So I think employees here have been a little bit sheltered to that because they've enjoyed really good benefits, but eventually.
But that's the balancing act that we're trying to.
The costs are rising, and they
are
everywhere.
Provide as much benefit as we can and get the biggest bang for our buck.
Yeah.
I know one thing they did at the hospital that one time that really opened everybody's eyes, because a lot of people don't think they're getting much for salary, but when you start putting in what benefits you're getting, man, sometimes your wages almost are double that you're really reaping those benefits, and that opened the eyes to a lot of people, not realizing they were getting those benefits.
One of the figures that Nancy shared the other day at Executive, before I heard this, a single person's insurance cost the county about $229. A family insurance policy per hour, a family insurance policy costs almost $7. So those are the benefits that some people don't realize.
Very definite.
It's a trying time.
But when you start taking things away,
yes,
the hair on the back of everybody's neck goes right up.
It does. Well, and people get scared and they start thinking maybe I need to go somewhere else. And the thing is a lot of those insurance issues are already somewhere else. So a lot of
correct.
Other agencies and employers are already dealing with that. But it's hard. And and Crystal said to me last week, so when they have that kind of shortfall, where do you find the money? And I said, good question, Crystal. I mean, it's where do you find the money?
There's a couple options in that 10 to, it got as high as 13 different options. There's some options in there that could save us $2 million, but they're pretty aggressive.
They're pretty aggressive.
Single person coverage across the board.
If if the spouse can get insurance with the company they work for.
Spousal carve out. Yeah, there's all kinds of different ways.
And that's being used in a lot of places.
Yes, it is.
Private sector uses it all.
Yes, it is. Right. So it is, you know, and the thing is too, with that, I mean, you know, wages get stagnant then too, because you're obviously, you can't increase wages. And, but also, at some point, services have to be cut, because you can't sustain services when your budgets are built into that machine. So I don't know. It's not pretty. And as you know, I just said to staff, I mean, I realize when you get those options, you're not going to find any of them like, oh, well, this looks good. That's not probably going to be the case. It's just which looks the least objectionable to you. So a couple things I wanted to just let you know about. Whitney is doing some training, a free educational series on Alzheimer's and dementia in the Platteville area. The first one is August 24th. It's effective communication strategies. Then there's one on understanding and responding to dementia-related behavior. And then there's another one in October on caregiver stress. So I'll pass that around if anyone's interested in those. She's also, there is a program called Spark Program that works with local museums. And she was approached by the, is it Rollo Jameson or Rollo? I never say it. Rollo Jameson. Museum in Platteville about applying for this Spark grant. And again, it's aimed at, it's aimed at ensures the museum offers accessible and inclusive environments and experiences for all. And so they are doing some creative engagement training, it said, for staff, volunteers, and community partners working with people with memory loss and other forms of dementia. Whitney is going to be a part of that, and so is Emily Wetter, one of our information and assistance specialists, and she's going to be our prevention person here. So they are going to participate in that training, but if anybody else is at all interested in participating as a volunteer, I'll pass that around too. So we're happy to have that, and then Whitney's hoping that doing that with that museum, that other museums might in the county might be interested in working with us as well. So one other thing on your nutrition report. If you look at under Muscadet, Ruth was pointing out, if you look at Muscadet and home delivered, it looks like we're only getting 47 cents for home delivered meal. And it is very low there. However, in having a conversation with her this morning, and I haven't had this conversation with you yet.
She did.
Oh, she did. Okay.
So I got her the number from some.
We do some out-of-county meals for the Sunny program, and those reimbursement costs for those meals aren't going back. Because of the way we do it, they end up in a different account. So I think Crystal and I and Ruth will have to meet and see if we can't provide you with maybe a more true number to that.
And
the food share vouchers, yeah. We also get some food share vouchers. People have the ability to use their food share voucher, which is like it was food stamps, now it's food share. And those also do not get into those individual pots of money. So if somebody has a lot of participants using food share, it looks like they have a lower donated donation rate coming back in. So, yes.
Lori, and maybe it's just the wording. Under meals served, the participants are eligible and ineligible?
Yes.
What does ineligible mean?
For us, for our purposes, the participants that are eligible are over 60. For participants that are not eligible, what that means is there's an eligibility for another pot of money. So say our participants that are receiving costs through continuous, getting their meals through continuous, they're not getting it at that lower rate, so we actually put them in as ineligible. Is that correct? Am I saying that right? I think I am.
Yeah.
So we're getting a higher rate on them. So, but we do mark them as not eligible because they're not eligible for the federal funding portion of that because someone else, they're already getting Medicaid dollars. So I know, it's crazy.
You know, the accounting has to be.
The other person that would not be in there, Dan, is if I go to if I go to the meal site, I'm ineligible. Because I'm under 60, I'm actually considered ineligible. I can't have any federal funding for my meal. So it is partially that too, but it's more probably, we don't have a lot of them. But we do occasionally get like a child that will go with a parent. And then they're expected to pay the full cost of that meal. They don't get it for the donated cost, so which then people don't like. So.
Any further questions here?
I just have a comment. I like that section that you've added there under new people served. And it shows that there are getting some new people.
We are getting some new people, yes. Yes.
I guess where that's the other thought I have along those lines, Jan. How does this compare to other years? Is it up? Is it down? Does it stay the same?
We've had some issues with the reporting system in other years, so I think we need to get on Crystal's system for a year or two before we can really make the comparative numbers. Because I don't think that was an issue I think we had in past ones, was where those numbers were getting into. So when we did the lean project on here, that was kind of our intent, was to kind of get a baseline so we could start looking at those from year to year.
They were comparing apples
stuff, right? Yeah. And it is tricky, I will say. I think it's the favorite part of Crystal's job when she comes in, when those nutrition reports come in every month.
Especially when I come back from maternity.
Any other questions on this? I mean, I have one. I can't remember where I read it. What on this, Nelson? A pastor is interested in giving services for special church services for
Yeah,
where did you read that?
That's in Whitney's report.
In the
dementia care specialist report. I mean, Whitney is really doing some amazing things out there. She's making contacts with a lot of different people.
I mean,
people.
I see that in our church, you know, when somebody kind of just leads them in, you know, and I'm thinking, I haven't decided who feels better about that. The person coming in who's being let in or the family member who's leading them in, knowing that they were very religious person and doesn't have any idea what's going on.
She has been making, I mean, she's just done remarkable things, and that position is scheduled to end middle of 2017, so we are really hoping that it will continue because, you know, we're hoping to spread that to the rest of the county and other communities, and, you know, we've had a lot of staff within the county system be trained, and that number of people with Alzheimer's and dementia is only going to grow. And it gets younger. We get, you know, we've had people in here as young as 57, which feels very, very close to me. So, but my phone tells me where to go in the morning.
That's so right.
And it gives me a map to how to get here. So.
Any other questions? You have any other comments?
Again, I just wanted to. I did print off the Long Term Care Coalition, Keep Our Care at Home. Long Term Care Coalition was really the group that was most active in looking at Family Care 2.0 and making recommendations to the state. So I did print that off if anybody's interested or if you'd like a copy of it. You can just see what their recommendations are for the future regarding the Family Care IRIS and containing those laws. So I will give you a copy. Jane, do you like copy? Okay.
Any further questions on anything?
That's it.
Anything more to come before us?
No.
Is Marcia doing the presentation?
No, she is not. No, she had other things. So I will try to get Marcia in here next month.
Okay. Dan has made a motion to adjourn. Second?
Sure.
Matt, Vicki?
Either.
All those in favor?
Who made it? I just lost it entirely. Okay.